name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. In this morning's gospel lesson, Jesus tells us of a judge who has no fear of God and cares nothing for a poor widow who keeps begging, not that her own will be done, but begging for justice. See, justice encompasses not only her, but other people as well. The judge finally gives her justice just to keep her quiet. How much more will God give justice to his people who cry to him day and night? Never, ever give up praying. Look at examples of those who pray. We see a housewife who regularly worships in God's house. She joins her prayers with the prayers of all the saints. Then, economic disaster hits. She and her family must run away from their pleasant home and live far away just to put bread on the table. However, she cannot run from sin's curse of death. Unexpectedly, her husband dies. Then both her sons die childless. Destitute, she runs back to her hometown. Her neighbors once called her Mrs. Pleasant. They greet her the same when she returns, but she spits out, "Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter." Should she stop praying? Next, we see a man who lives a life of prayer. He's blessed with family and health and even wealth. But unexpectedly, he loses his entire fortune. That same day, a windstorm hits the house where his adult children are. Walls and roof collapse. In the wreckage of that house, he finds the bodies of his 10 children. He falls to the ground in agony. Should he give up on prayer? Third, see a man pleading with God to rescue him from certain agonizing and shameful death. He prays and he prays, but God is silent. Less than 24 hours after pleading with God, this young man dies. His mother watches helplessly. It's as if a sword has gone through her own heart. Didn't prayer work? Who are these people? First is Naomi. Her daughter-in-law Ruth comes from Moab, a despised nation founded in incest. After the bitter loss of her family, Naomi sees no hope, but later she sees God's blessing through the daughter-in-law God gave her. Through Naomi's stumbling and bumbling witness, the Holy Spirit works and brings her daughter-in-law Ruth to faith. Although Naomi never lived to see him, Ruth becomes the great-grandmother of King David and an ancestress of Jesus Christ, her Savior. Next is Job, whose book addresses the question of severe suffering. His words comfort many people who know terrible grief and pain and sorrow on a daily, intimate level. God shows us a glimpse of heaven as he restores to Job double of what he lost. The third person is Jesus Christ, first in the Garden of Gethsemane. No one has ever suffered as much as Christ suffered. As Christ is dying on the cross, God the Father turns his back on his only Son. The world is plunged into darkness, and Christ cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? No one answers. No one. Jesus keeps on praying, in excruciating pain as he's punished for your sin and my sin. He keeps praying in the darkness when no one answers. He keeps hurling his voice to heaven when heaven is silent. Yet moments from death, he cries out with confidence in his victory, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Even though the heavens are dark, he knows where he's going. He knows where the brutal thief beside him is going. They're leaving this dead and dying world for the kingdom of eternal life. And through Christ's work alone, we shall also. So what is prayer? Well, first of all, prayer is not a sacrament. Prayer does not earn us God's favor. Prayer doesn't merit heaven. We're not even heard because of our great speaking. We're heard because God chose us and made us his children in the water of holy baptism. So what is prayer? Prayer is the throat and lips of God-given faith. Prayer speaks the God-given hope within us. God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." The day of trouble. How long is the day of trouble? 1 24-hour day? No. The day of trouble. The day of trouble may last a lifetime, but a lifetime will end. "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." We usually think of earthly deliverance, but earthly deliverance is only temporary. Eternal deliverance is what God gives us. It comes to us through the forgiveness of our sins. Sin. I sin against God because I do not love him with my whole heart, mind, body, and soul. I daily sin against my neighbors, even my closest neighbors, my spouse and my family, because I do not love them as much as I love myself. Do I want justice for these sins? No. No. I want injustice. And that's exactly what God gives me. Injustice. I do not get what I deserve. Jesus Christ gets what I deserve, and I get what he deserves. He dies in my sin, and I get forgiveness. That's the justice God gives to those who cry to him day and night. The justice of injustice. The greatest injustice ever inflicted. When the only perfect human being, Jesus Christ, suffers the punishment for the sins of everyone in the whole world. All our past sins, all our present sins, and even all our sins in the future. It's precisely this injustice which Jacob clings to as he struggles with God in the pre-dawn darkness. Jacob, the bigamist, liar, cheat, manipulator. Jacob knows who he is. Jacob knows what he's done. And so he holds on to God for dear life. "Let me go." "No, I will not let you go unless you bless me." He receives a blessing and a permanent disability in the process. What blessing will you and I receive? We think of blessings as something that we want, we desire, we would enjoy. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. What blessing? Will it be trouble? Will it be imprisonment like Paul or stoning like Stephen? It may. God knows what is best. And our prayer is a constant wrestling with God, not knowing what the blessing will be, but trusting God to bless us for our good and the good of the people around us. A popular expression which you probably heard is this: prayer changes things. We're even tempted to believe that prayer changes God, but that's not true. God does not change. A better wording is this: prayer changes us. Prayer changes us as we pray the words that our Lord Jesus gave us in the Lord's Prayer. Prayer conforms us to the image of Christ so that we desire what Christ desires. We do not know what is best, but God does. So as we pray, "Thy will be done," our will is being shaped into God's will. Unrelenting prayer, using God's words unrelentingly, shapes us into the people God has called us to be. In this shaping is spiritual healing, sanity, and hope, no matter what our fears, pains, agony, or sorrow. In prayer, we cling to the promises God gives us in His unchangeable word. Luther prays it this way: "Lord, into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, all things." People of God, pray. Pray the confession of sins. Pray the Kyrie, "Lord, have mercy." Pray the intro at Psalm. Pray the hymns as you sing them. Pray the communion preface. Prayer is the lips and throat of faith. Pray, people of God. Pray living. Pray dying. Pray without ceasing. Here in this divine service, God fills us with His everlasting words. And in prayer, we say those words of His back to Him. Prayer says to God what He first says to us. Prayer gives voice to faith. One liturgical introduction to prayer says this: "Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray." With these words, "Lord, remember us in your kingdom," we echo the words of the wicked thief on the cross, "For we are no better." Then we echo the words of Jesus' disciples, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus answers, "When you pray, say this: Our Father, who art in heaven." Our Father. The Lord's Prayer is a group prayer, prayed together with God's people. When we cannot pray it together with God's people, the Our and Our Father reminds us that we're still one in Christ Jesus. There's a story of a city pastor who accepts a call to a country church. And he finds a different custom there. When the Lord's Prayer is being prayed during divine service, someone goes back and rings the steeple bell. That sound rolls across the countryside. He asked the people, "Why is this done?" "Pastor, we don't know. We've always," repeat after me, "we've always done it that way." Finally, an older member tells him, "Pastor, in this farming community of caring for livestock, caring for our crops, not everyone can be in worship every Sunday. But when that bell rings, they stop what they're doing and pray the Lord's Prayer along with us. We always pray together, even when we're apart." Prayer starts with the Lord's Prayer, the prayer Christ gives us. Prayer includes all the prayers in Scripture and the prayers of the church, both said and sung. God hears the prayers of His people. Prayer is always answered in the way that is best for us and all of God's people. Yes, prayer is always answered, sometimes in ways that for us are painful and even debilitating, but always for our eternal blessing. Always pray, knocking on heaven's door. "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you." Persistence. Persistence. Jacob was persistent. He wouldn't let go of God. The widow was persistent. And St. Paul urges Timothy to be persistent in preaching that pure word of God. For the time has come when people don't want the pure word of God. So what's the hardest part of persistence? Patience. We want it, and we want it right now. But those answers may not come until heaven itself. In this life, we'll always appear to be, to the world, as that helpless widow begging for help. And the world will mock us. "Where is your God? You say He loves you. Why doesn't He help you?" Don't be surprised. They said the very same thing to Jesus when he was on the cross. But God will be proven right. Because Christ has given up his very life for us, the Father will always do what is best for us. Satan will cower at our feet. Eternal death will flee away from us. Pray. Prayer flows from faith. In faith, the voice of prayer speaks. And God grant us such faith as we continue to trust and pray repeatedly, boldly, and confidently in our Savior Jesus Christ.